Okay, God, another Sunday, another week, another message. Man, this week was really hard. A lot of pressure this week. It was harder than normal. Plus all the stuff that went on at my house, and sometimes I just feel unqualified to be up here, Lord. I still get nervous. I've done it a lot of times, but I still feel the nerves. I still feel the anxiousness. I still feel it manifesting in my body. And so, God, I need you to help me today to work through this. I hope it's as good as the next one. I hope it's as good as the last one. Holy Spirit, help me. Make sure to smile. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. What's up, Rock Church? Would you clap your hands? Come on, help me celebrate the Lord. Glad you're here today. I want to welcome all of our campuses. My name is Travis, and I'm one of the pastors that serves on a leadership team, and it is a great privilege and joy to be here with you. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Isn't it good to be here? Grateful to be here with you. I want to say hello to all of our locations, and that's actually part of my job as the executive campus pastor is to oversee our campuses, all 6 locations, and spend time investing into our campus pastors. So shout out to our leadership there, all of our congregations across San Diego and Oahu. So Chula Vista, San Marcos, El Cajon, City Heights, Point Loma, Rock Church Oahu. Everybody joining online, let's clap our hands and welcome one another. Say hello. Glad you're here today. Hey, I wonder how many of you, like me, have ever experienced any anxiety before? Any tension, any anxiousness? Maybe you've gone through something in life, maybe you're living through it right now, or you've walked through something that feels like it is a crushing weight. And it's so crushing that it doesn't come off, and that if you, the longer you hold it, it just, you feel like you're just going deeper and deeper and deeper into a pit called depression. I felt that before. I've experienced it before. And maybe if it's not you, then you know somebody, because we all know somebody who's maybe navigating a breakup or a divorce, or something happened that was devastating in their family. Maybe even today, thinking about all of the Gold Star families who are remembering and honoring those that served in the armed forces. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and so we just take a moment to say we love you, we bless you, we pray with you, we honor you. We honor those that paid the ultimate price. And maybe that, though, that thought and the today and tomorrow is pressing on you. Maybe it's just because you're a mother, and so you got kids and you got work. You're a working mother. You work at home or you work in the marketplace, and then you got dinner and food and sports and expectations of yourself and your husband. Maybe just the reality of the life that you're living in. You've been trying to buy a house and you can't buy a house. The economy's up and down, and then just the word tariffs is freaking you out. I don't know if it does or not. So all kinds of stuff that could be a burden on you. Well, we're in week 2 of our series entitled, We Need to Talk. And how we arrived here, we surveyed our entire church and said, hey, if you were in charge and you got to decide what we're talking about up here, what would you want to talk about? And a third of all the answers came back for the third year in a row that anxiety and depression is the number one issue that you're dealing with. Anxiety and depression, anxiousness, this hardship that and weight that you just feel. And then we looked at the stats, and the stats just confirmed what you already told us. For the last 2 to 3 years, according to the CDC, that a third of American adults struggle with anxiety or depression. 48%, it's almost half of those that were surveyed, are age 18 to 29. And so you take this large group of a third of all Americans say that anxiety and depression is a pandemic on its own. But half of those people that said that are age 18 to 29. They're the ones that are suffering maybe the most for whatever reason. Women, interestingly, struggle with anxiety and depression more. But men take it a step further and they commit suicide more often than women. 1 out of every 5 students has thought about this year, think about your students at your campus, students in the room, have thought about taking their life. This year, 1 out of every 5 students. It's obvious there's a problem, and the numbers are just confirming what the church already said that they're wrestling with, they're hearing about, that they're having to work through. The people are going through hard times and they need hope. That's why these first 2 weeks, and we need to talk our hope in hard times, and then taking a deep dive on anxiety and depression. So today I want to talk to you specifically on the hard times and the mistakes in those hard times that we make that lead to anxiety and depression. There was a man named Paul. He was Saul. God encountered him, had an encounter in a moment with Jesus, and God changes his life and uses the same things he used to attack Christians with, that same type of energy and zeal, and turn it for the gospel. And he becomes the Apostle Paul and writes a ton of the New Testament and tons of letters and plants churches. And he was a persecuted man, a man that went through hard times, was beaten, was stoned, was left for dead, was shipwrecked, was imprisoned many, 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 many times. And when you look at his life, you would say, man, that's the guy that's depressed. That's the guy that if he said he's anxious, I wouldn't even give him a hard time about it, because I get it, all the things he's been through. He was whipped with the same type of it's called a cat of nine tails. Anybody remember that, when Jesus was whipped 39 times because 40 times was said to kill somebody? Well, Paul got that like four or five times. On different occasions, just beaten and whipped and shipwrecked and jailed. And you think, man, this guy, this might as well just quit. Maybe quit on God. I don't know if you've been there before, saying, God, this whole thing's not working. Anybody been there before? Christianity's not working. It didn't work. It's not working. I'm coming to church. Well, here's what Paul says on one occasion while he's sitting in prison. He writes this in Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. What'd you say? He said, rejoice. And then he says, I'll say it again in case you thought I was confused or that I had a, you know, concussion from all the beatings. Rejoice, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. That's I'm pleading to God with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and then what? The peace of God. Hallelujah. Which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, that's our prayer today. God, I just ask that we wouldn't be anxious about anything. We'd lay it down at your feet this morning before we continue. Help us to identify the mistakes and the problem areas that we're making, and lead us from anxiety and depression towards your perfect peace. We pray that together as a family. In Jesus' name, someone shout, amen. 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 I'm a car guy, and I like cars that work. I like, and some of you trying to, here's why I say that. Because some are like, I'm trying to save money, and I just drive a hoopty, and it breaks. I buy another hoopty. I'm like, I'm not into that. I like sending my family off without me and knowing they're going to get where they're going. Can I get amen? I just like that feeling. I don't want the car to make noise unless it's on purpose. I don't want the clickety click 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 clack. I don't want to hear that. Want a car that works. So every two or three years, I end up flipping cars. Just kind of my thing. We, you know, some people spend money on vacations, some people on fancy clothes, some people on always going out. And I just want a car that feels good and doesn't break. Come on, somebody. And the other day, a couple years ago, I was driving my wife's car, her SUV. And as I'm going, all of a sudden, the check engine light came on. I'm, oh! Anybody had a check engine light come on recently? And it's just the kind of the cold sweat that hits you. Ah! But it wasn't just the check engine light. It was like four signals. It was bing, bing, pop, 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 pop. Everything was going off. It was like seatbelts broken, the mirrors, the shifter. I was like, oh my gosh. And it started making a noise. And it just immediately, I thought, I am selling this hoopty tonight. I'm selling it. It's broken. We're getting rid of it. But the check engine light, and you know this, it's not like a final decision. It's not a stamp that your car is broken, you gotta get rid of it. No, what do you gotta do? You gotta bring it in to the service department. You gotta bring it in to the manufacturer. Why? Because they're the ones that made it. And how many know when you bring things that feel broken to the person that made it, they have the power to fix it? Come on, who am I preaching to today? That's good. I feel broken, I feel anxious. I want you to write this down. Anxious and depressed are not a label or an identity. They're a signal that something is off. Anxious and depressed is not who you are. You are not a depressed person. You are not anxiety. And maybe the enemy tries to call you that or make you feel like that's just, this is who I am. I'm just out here, Eeyore, just how's it going? Another cloudy day. Just out here just having a rough one again. It's not your label. That's not your name. It's not a title. It's not a final decision to go end your life. No, but it is, watch this, it is a signal that something is off. And I want to teach you this idea through a story in the Bible from a man named Elijah. And Elijah loved God with all his heart. Maybe like many of you do at one of our campuses, you just madly love God. So did Elijah. And Elijah was one of the Old Testament prophets, maybe the prophet of all prophets. I mean, he was him. He was the guy. Signs and wonders, the whole thing. And he was famous for confronting a king named King Ahab. And he prophesied a drought, and the drought came. And then Ahab sends an army after Elijah. So Elijah goes on a three-year run, and the drought ends. But while he's on the run, God provides the whole time. He provides, he protects, he is still working in and through him. And then, in fact, in one occasion in dealing with King Ahab, Elijah defeats 850 false prophets. And he calls down fire from heaven and smokes them. They got all the smoke. Come on, somebody. They got all the smoke. Can you imagine the confidence you'd have if you could call down fire from heaven? Can you imagine that? Someone jamming you up and you just like, you better be careful. I can call down smoke, call down fire. I broke up a fight one time at Popeye's in the drive-thru, and the feeling I had afterwards was like, God, look at my hands, Lord, look at this. Oh, it's awesome, awesome. I didn't do nothing, I was just like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, just like, I didn't do a whole lot. They didn't fight, and I was like, Lord, yes, look at this, yes. Elijah's calling down things and signs and wonders, and just, he's one of only two men in the Bible that didn't die, him and Enoch. Elijah goes and floats up to heaven. It's incredible. Just God was with this man. But on this occasion, he defeats 850 false prophets, calls down fire from heaven. And King Ahab's wife was Queen Jezebel. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got any Jezebels at church? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Jezebel sends out a message and threatens Elijah. And even though Elijah had seen God's power and the provision and deliverance, he makes a few mistakes that end up getting him to a place of anxiousness, anxiety, depression, to the point where he wants to take his own life. Here's the story. If you've got your Bibles with you, go to 1 Kings chapter 19. It's in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and then I want to break it down and pull out some points. If you don't have your Bible with you, we'll put it up on the screen. And by the way, grab a Bible. Get yourself a Bible. Get one online. Get one in our retail store here in Point Loma. Get the Bible app. Make sure you get God's word with you. But here's 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 5. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel, that's his wife, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow, you know, that's you're talking trash with that stuff right there. By this time tomorrow, if by this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid, and what does he do? He runs for his life. When he came to a place called Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush. He sat under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. So Elijah looks up to heaven. I've had enough, Lord. Anybody been there before? I've had enough. Yeah, like, I've had enough of this life. Maybe I've had enough. I can see your hand. I've had enough of that. I've had enough of him. Had enough of her. It was an equal opportunity situation right now, him and her. Had enough of this job. I've had enough of this moment. Had enough of this body and my health. I've just had enough, God. And Elijah has an I've had enough moment. A couple years ago, I was sitting with Pastor Miles, and we were in his office and across from each other, and we're praying and talking through things in the church. And I had a lot on my plate. I remember this season, and I had a lot going on and just felt the tension to be in 10 different places at once. And we're sitting there talking, and we're about to pray, and I can feel, I'm having like a hard time catching my full breath. It just felt like there was a 1,000-pound gorilla on my chest. Like, I couldn't catch my breath, and I was thinking, man, what's going on? And I know I got a lot happening in ministry, and then my own expectation to be a good father, to be a good husband, to be a good leader, to be a good communicator, to be all things to all people and be present at all of our campuses. And then I started feeling, wait a minute, I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. Should I be feeling this? Shouldn't I be, you know, stronger than this? I don't know if you ever felt that before. I came to church. I went to the Rock Church on Sunday. Should I be going through these things? But here's the life lesson that I learned from Scripture. Just because I'm a pastor and just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you won't struggle. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. In fact, we need hope because you will have hard times. And the Scripture tells us this. Jesus says in John 16:33, in this life, you will have what? Trouble. We're going to have trouble. So fill in the blank. What's your trouble today? The Bible says you're going to have it, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In this world, it's filled with anxiety, filled with depression, filled with problems and troubles. But Jesus says you can take heart when the 1,000-pound gorilla is crushing you. Take heart because I have overcome this world. This moment is temporary. I've got a better way. We can cling to God's word, cling to that hope in the middle of those hard times. But Elijah says, I've had enough. I don't like this way. I don't like how this feels. Something was off with Elijah. A lot of his own doing. I want to give you five things from the story that I think not only Elijah did, but five things that I think a lot of us do that wind us up into a hard place and a hard time that leads to anxiety and depression. Here's number one. Number one, we run ourselves into the ground. How did I get here? Some of you ran yourself into the ground. You ran yourself into the ground. Look at verse 3 in the story. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life when he came to Beersheba. Just pause there. Here's what we know about because of geography, that Beersheba was 120 miles away from where he was. And do the math, that's almost 5 marathons, okay? Anybody a marathon runner at church today? Anybody? Not a whole lot of runners at Rock Church, apparently. Okay, not a lot of athletes here today. I got a couple, okay. I've done one 5K, okay? It was hard the whole time. I like the weights. I come into the gym and I see the treadmill and I try to just close my eyes and walk by it. Give me the dumbbells. A few years ago, I'm 41, so it's probably 35, we had a men's breakfast happening here at the church and they were gonna have a bench press contest. And so a couple of buddies of mine I worked out with, I kind of thought, you know what, let's set a goal for ourselves. And growing up in high school, I started working out like at 15 years old and saw all the big guys lifting big weights and I always heard the 1,000-pound club. It's always had this kind of a ring to it, the 1,000-pound club. Okay, and the 1,000-pound club is where you take your three heaviest lifts, your bench, your squat, your deadlift, and then it equals, you know, whatever it can equal. And I always thought saw the guys that can do it, and I can never do it. Well, come to find out, when you get into your 30s, you get something that's called old man strength. Anybody got old man strength? Okay, I'm not that old. Can I see you, my friend? I appreciate that, right? And when you're 19, it comes on and it just falls right off. And like, what happened? I've been eating Taco Bell all day, and it's just nothing. No, but when you're in your 30s, you got old man strength that sticks on a little bit easier. And so I set that goal around 35 years old. I'm into 1,000-pound and you know, like show up to this men's thing. I'm like, bow, bow, be all. And so we're working our way, and I did it. But then I blew out my shoulder. Yeah, why are you laughing, bro? That's not even right, dog. He's over here. Like, he's been there. But I tore my rotator cuff. I prayed over it. That helped. I ended up having to go get a little surgery, outpatient surgery, made it better, feeling good again. And so fast forward, more recently, I've been hanging out with some young guys in my small group, and these guys all like to hit the weights and do things, and they know I go and work out early. And so I've been kind of feeling a little froggy, you know what I mean? And just say, hey, let's revisit the 1,000-pound club. Let's revisit that. Let's see, you know, 6 years later, I'm probably better 6 years later, right? Yeah, absolutely. And so I've been pressing and going hard, and wouldn't you believe that the thing that was on my left shoulder jumped over to my right shoulder. I said, what, Lord, is happening to this 1,000-pound club demon that I need to get off me? I was pressing hard. I was going probably too fast. I have a history of going at a pace that I cannot sustain. Look up here. Some of you are in a pit called anxiety and depression because you are living and operating at a pace that you can't sustain. You have run yourself into the ground. Days and days and days and days of working, and you're tired and stressed and burdened. Days and days and days going out and not sleeping, night after night, drinking, spending money you don't have, hustling and hustling. Remember that song? Hustling, hustling, every day I'm hustling. It's like, bro, that ain't from the Lord. I don't know who wrote that. That's Rick Ross. I don't know if he loves Jesus. I don't know. It's like I heard, you don't know any worship songs, but you know all Rick Ross's words. It's hustling, hustling. Man, Here's what God's word tells us in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. God has not called us to run ourselves in the ground. He is calling all of us to find a rhythm, because sometimes life is not balanced. So I find a rhythm and I operate at a rhythm and a pace of grace. I don't want anxiety to be who I am. I don't want depression to be the pit that I live in. I want to get out of it. How do I do that? Well, I need to find a pace of grace. I will not run myself into the ground. Here's number two. Number two, we isolate ourselves from community. That's why you're in the pit of anxiety and depression, because you have pushed everybody away. You're a lone ranger. You're solo bolo. You're your own hero. You don't need nobody. I got it. I don't share my life. I don't tell them my stuff. They don't need to know about our burdens. You're just out here with nobody. No accountability, no advocate for your life. It happened to Elijah in the second part of verse 3, in 1 Kings 19, 3 through 4. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. He left him. He left his guy. He left his boy. He left his friend. While he himself went a day's journey into what? The wilderness? And so before life got hard, you left your community? That's what Elijah did. He removed his trusted friend right before he goes into the wilderness. Right before. One of the first like sports events my dad took me to. My dad's right here, Wayne Gibson. Give it up for Wayne Gibson. Come on now. Wayne Gibson. One of the very first professional sporting events that I can remember we went to, the two of us, was a professional boxing match. And I'll never forget it. And from that moment, we were hooked. And so we follow fights, we watch fights, and love, you know, MMA or boxing. And it's just... admire the training, admire the courage that it takes to walk down fight week and face their own demons and the nerves and the lights. And there's a handful of fighters that have been very outspoken about their own battle with anxiety and depression. Ryan Garcia, Danny Garcia, Tyson Fury. I mean, it's debilitating. It's just so much weight. And I was watching this documentary where a Hall of Fame boxer was telling this young fighter, "Hey, how do you manage fight week? Fight week's terrible. Fight week is just so much pressure. I almost just, my body freezes." And have you ever seen a match, it looks like one guy just can't pull the trigger. He just like, well, how come he didn't do it? It's the weight. It's the paralyzing fear and the trauma of that anxiety leading up to fight week. And this Hall of Famer looks at this young fighter and says, "Listen, don't go anywhere in fight week without your entourage. Don't go anywhere this week without people walking around you." And so if you've seen fighters and they got like 37 dudes all with a towel, they don't need 37 towels. They don't need that much water. They just have their community. Their community. Because why? Because it's when you're alone that your mind goes dark. It's when you're alone that the enemy tries to get a hold of your thoughts. It's when you're isolated away from community. I don't need them. I'm just going to go into the wilderness. And there the enemy starts to speak, and he reminds you of who he says you are, not who God says you are. He's not trying to encourage you. He's trying to remind you of all your failures. That's right, you didn't go to church today. That's right, she didn't pick you. That's right, they passed you up again for the job. Why? Because you're nothing. Because you're a loser. Because you're ugly. Because you're weak. Because you're small. Because you always fail. You always mess up. And so Elijah makes that same mistake. And a lot of times we end up making that mistake because maybe you think, "Oh, I'm going to be a burden. I don't want to." No. God gave us a community. In fact, that's our whole mission statement. We want to help make disciples, a follower of Jesus, who know God, who grow in community, then go make a difference. And in that order, I got to know God, and then I can grow as a community. Before I start going and making a difference, I got to grow in this community. In fact, today is 52525 day. Are you tracking with that date? Okay. It's like the official Rock Church Next Step Day. Okay, so in fact, at all of our campuses, when you walked in this morning, we had signs that said, "What's your next step?" and 52525. And if you're brand new here, if you text "next steps" to 52525, we help you get plugged into community. It's one of the ways we want to help you grow. In fact, you can join a team, you can serve, you can join a group, you can just get involved and find that there is strength in community. Why are you battling with anxiety and depression? Could it be, not that you've run yourself in the ground, maybe you did, but probably because you've isolated yourself from community. Here's the third thing that we see in the story. Number three, we focus on the negative. This is for somebody. Someone's gonna get breakthrough in this area today. We focus on the negative. Raise your hand if you're an optimist. Like everything's gonna be good. We're gonna work it out. I'm in that category. I tend to be glass half full, right? Like, it's good. right? No big deal. Who are the pessimists? Like, oh, it's dark and dreary and you know, right here. Yeah, I could tell. Right here, I could tell. They're laughing, high-fiving each other. That's right. Not going to work out. That's right. just super sad for no reason. I get it. I totally get it. But in verse 4, Elijah goes dark. He goes negative. He goes to the point where he's thinking about taking his life. In verse 4, he comes to the broom bush. He sat down under it and prayed that he might die. Now, don't raise your hand and don't look at the person around you. But I want you to think about that. There's a person in the Bible who took time, sat down, and prayed, God, kill me. Now, don't be discouraged or go, what's with this book? This is a real, it's an account, a real story, real account, real people. And this man who was called by God, filled by God, even he said, Jesus, I can't do it anymore. And I'm so thankful that God sent his son so that we don't have to strive. And he lived the life that we could never live. And he died the death that we deserve to die. And he stretched his arms out in the cross and we just believe in him, receive him. God gives us a new strength. But in this moment, Elijah says, Lord, I just take my life. Take my life. I've had enough. And I'm thinking to myself, because I know the story and I know who this guy is. You've had enough of what, Elijah? How did you forget what God has done? How did you forget? And I say it to you. How have you forgotten what God has done? Elijah, he forgot how quickly he went downhill. Like, nobody loves me and no one's going to show up. And that's why they didn't call me. And of course, no one's going to go out with me. And of course, they got more followers. And it's terrible. This past winter, I baptized a friend and he said, hey, can we go to La Jolla Shores? I want to get baptized in the ocean. And normally that's like, great, we're in San Diego, awesome. Shout out to my friends I met from Arizona today. Love San Diego. But it's December and you know what? The water's cold, you know what I mean? It's like, it's beautiful, but it's painful in there. And I said, are you sure you heard from the Lord on that? Do you want to wait till April? It's like, all right, let's go get baptized. And so, you know, it's an incredible day, beautiful day, and the weather's awesome, and the birds flying, it's clear, and there's the ocean. We do the Devo, and it's just awesome time. And we start walking out. Dude's got his shirt off because he's all ripped. I'm like, bro, chill. We go out here, and we're wading in the water, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. So it's freezing. It's terrible. Pain immediately. Just a giant cold plunge. Giant cold plunge. Just pain. If you've been in a cold plunge, it just it's like that type of pain. It's that type of like shock you can't talk type of pain. And we were going into here and I'm supposed to be the pastor and you know, in the name of the Father, Son, and supposed to speak some life over him and encourage him. And I'm over here, and God loves you so much. And just, you know, I'm just, I can't catch my breath. This hurts. Everything in me is telling me to leave. Can't feel my kneecaps. Jeez. The pain. Just too much, and so we just had to stop and just take some deep breaths. We were both feeling it. Had to remember why we're here. This is a beautiful moment. It's a day that you're honoring the Lord, and we had to refocus our thoughts. And I think a lot of us struggle with something that Elijah struggles with, and that's the inability to process pain in a healthy way. There's somebody here today that the reason why you are plagued with anxiety or sadness and depression, and it's the pit that you can't get out of. It's because you may have pain, but you are not processing the pain in a healthy way. Because the pinch becomes a bruise, and the molehill becomes a mountain. I'm not processing. I can't see the bigger picture. I can't see God in the story. I can't remember that I've been forgiven, that I've got grace and mercy. I've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not processing things correctly. But Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. I want you to think about those things because there's power in controlling our focus, in controlling our thought life. And so I'm going to breathe out anxiety and I'm going to get some praise on my heart. I'm going to breathe out. Breathe out the anxiousness. Breathe out the painful thoughts and the never and I duh and they're not going to. And I'm going to start saying things like, you know what, I think I'm going to make it. I think God is on my side. I think I'm going to start going to read 1 Kings chapter 19 that the pastor was talking about because I was made for this. I was built for this. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not going to bow to anxiety and depression. I'm not gonna run myself into the ground. I'm not gonna isolate from all these people that actually wanna help me, that God's sending me. And I'm gonna change my mind. And I'm not gonna always focus on the negative. I will be real, but then I'm gonna cast all my anxiety on the Lord, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. I cast all my anxiety on the Lord because he cares for me. Here's the fourth thing. We compare ourselves to others. That's why you're stressed. That's why you're struggling. That's why you can't get out of the pit, because you're in the pit and you're looking over the fence at your neighbor's house. And everything they got going on looks better than your life. I can't help it, I can't help it. Elijah did the same thing. 1 Kings 19, verse 4, he came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. And then watch this. I am no better than my ancestors. So he's suffering in pain and he's thinking about, I should just die. Why? Because I remember how good their life was. Because I remember how they probably didn't suffer, my ancestors. My friends, my cousins, and you know the other prophets that came before me, they didn't struggle like this. God, I'm over here a failure. I'm letting you down, Lord. I'm letting down. I got this lady Jezebel out here trying to send death threats at me. If I'm not there by this time tomorrow and talking about all this trash and she's coming after me, take my life, God. They're doing it way, way, way better than me. I love this quote by Theodore Roosevelt. You've heard this before. It says, comparison is the thief of joy. Okay, that's not a new quote. It's still a good quote, but I wrote this down, that comparison is the death of joy, because comparison will kill your contentment. You're comparing their house and comparing their kids got better grades than your kids get, and they made all-stars and yours didn't. Pick a new sport, bro. You know what I mean? He's not a baseball player. He likes to draw. It's okay. Out here comparing everything. They go on better trips and they got more money and she's out here doing this and her hair looks nicer than mine. It's probably extensions anyways. It's not even real. It's like, man, you can't live with this comparison mentality. It'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you anxious. It'll drive you to depression. Why? All because you think that what they got going on is better than your life. Here's the good news. If I have God and nothing else, I'm good. Amen. If I've been given salvation and I got Jesus in my life, I got the power of the Holy Spirit leading me, I'm good. But if I can switch from anxiousness and comparison to gratitude, then Jesus plus all that I already have is more than enough. I got all that I need and more. I got all that I need, and I switch from it's never gonna be, and I'll never be as good as, and everything about them's better, and just, it's just perfect, and he's got the six pack, and she just did. No, I just go, Lord, thank you for my one pack. You know what I mean? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that I got a pack here. Something's happening. Just grateful today, Lord. I'm switching. I'm getting out of the pit. I don't gotta stay there. It doesn't become my identity. Here's the fifth thing, and then I'll wrap up. Number five, we forget about God. Elijah forgot about God. I know there are people here today that have forgotten about God. This isn't unusual for San Diegans or people that live in California or people that live in the United States in the year 2025, because we have plenty of people, and you know them, that have left. They've left the building, and not only the building, they haven't returned, they've left the faith. They've walked away from God. They've forgotten about his faithfulness, and they're just stuck, and they can't see God because all they see is what's in front of them. But for Elijah, this is unusual, because Elijah is a man of faith. He spent his entire life seeing God move and experiencing God's power on full display. God's power, signs, wonders, provision, his faithfulness. But Elijah did what a lot of people do. He was facing problems with forgetting his God. I faced my problems and I forgot my God. But here's what's even wilder about Elijah. It was in his name. Elijah, Elijah, El, the Lord. I, my, Jah, God. His name meant the Lord is my God. And he forgot about God. He forgot about God's goodness and his faithfulness. When I was in college, I slept on a buddy's couch. He's a pastor today here in San Diego. And we're growing in our faith and trying to pursue God. And so we set these chairs like this outside his patio, two of them. So every day when we would go in the patio, We'd walk out and we'd see two chairs, one to remind ourselves to pray. This is my chair. And the second one was left open so that we wouldn't forget about God. And we would be reminded that God's with me. In fact, that's where I started today, sitting in anxious thoughts that are real, that I actually work through myself. But this seat's open because I don't want to forget God. And I can't go there if he doesn't go with me, if he doesn't go before me. And you can't go to where God's called you if he doesn't go with you, if he doesn't go before you. But you cannot forget about God. And eventually, as a college young guy, we would walk by these chairs, and we got so busy, and we got school going on and trying to pursue things, and we just kept walking by the chairs, and we wouldn't even sit anymore. And now we're just like Elijah. All I can see are my problems and not God. I gotta actually walk out this life with the Lord with me. This last verse I want to give you in Philippians, and Paul, we started with this. Paul said, don't be anxious, pray. Rejoice in the Lord always, the Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because God's here. Pray the peace of God. In verse 8, if anything is praiseworthy or good or just, think about those things. And then verse 9, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Actually do it. Actually do it. And the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice, and then the God of peace will be with you. We want the God of peace without putting it into practice. We want the God of peace. God, change my life, but I'm still gonna run myself in the ground. I'm not gonna practice it. I want peace on my life, but I'm still gonna isolate everybody. I don't wanna go to community groups. I don't wanna go to small group. I don't wanna show up and serve. I don't wanna do a next step. I just wanna come here and expect God's peace. I want the God of peace without the practice. And God says, no, put it into practice. That's why I sent my son Jesus. Not so that you can struggle. You will have trouble in this life, but take heart. If you do what I've called you to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the peace that surpasses all understanding because you have the God of all peace. Come on, clap your hands. Let's thank the Lord.